Blog Talk Radio.
Century. Robert Gainsborough was born today. A great black jazz clarinetist was both born on this date and died on his birthday. Sidney Bechet was part of those black musicians and black artists that had to go to Europe because they were discriminated against here in the United States. Among those other people were the famous black actress who did the banana dance, and she adopted children during while she was over there, worked in the French Resistance, very skinny girl from St. Louis, Missouri. There were other black musicians who went, and this was the period of the lost generation of Americans after World War II. And Sidney Bechet, B-E-C-H-E-T, made a lot of great recordings. Among the other birthdays today, Muhammad Khan. He's the guy who was the general who took over Pakistan in the about the time of Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, in the late 60s, early 70s. He died in a mysterious plane crash, and I interviewed the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, who was also the head of the Pakistan Military Academy, which was set up by the British when after they split the severance of Pakistan from India. Some of the British who had been there for 40, 50 years and serving in the military in India stayed around to help both India and Pakistan set up their military. And you notice that the uniforms and the marching style is very similar, and the officers carry swagger sticks. Well, I asked Brigadier Ingle, Francis Ingle, who's very fond of the Pakistanis, got a rare interview with him, and he kind of hinted that there was some skullduggery involved in the crash of the plane that was carrying Muhammad Khan. Muhammad Khan got some people pissed off when he came over here and addressed the U.S. Congress and said, "You have to help us." And some people didn't like that, felt he was ungrateful. But and, you know, he served his country, and you live your life, and you accept your fate. You don't get to make those decisions, and he didn't, even though he was a general. Those of you who remember Bobby Darin's famous rendition of Mac the Knife, well, here's his full and real name: Waldo No, Walden, W-O-L-D-E-N, Waldo Casotto, C-A-S-S-O-T-T-O. And I'll, when people have unpronounceable names or long names, they or something happens, like I was known in the media as Peter Paul, even though I have a long name. For media purposes and even for acting purposes in Hollywood and on the stage, people adapt names. And like John Wayne was born Francis Marion. Now that wouldn't go for somebody who was a two-fisted He-Man. So they named him John Wayne, the mighty John Wayne. Beat your chest and yell for Jane. There were two sisters, Joan Fontaine and not Colbert. I forgot the other woman's name. She changed her name, and like Joan Crawford was born Louise LeSueur, and LeSueur is the name of a company that makes peas up in Minnesota. So these are a couple of the changes that are made, and the English do it also. Some of their actors, but we'll get into that another day when it's the birthday of these people. Among the deaths today, the father of Louis XIV, Louis XIII, died in 1643. Great Norwegian author, we share the same birth date. August Strindberg would die today, and he wrote a lot of these, I call them kind of morbid, depressing writings, let's put it that way. And I think he wrote a couple of plays, and he was a contemporary of Edvard Grieg, the great Norwegian composer, and Carl Nielsen, and all those great Scandinavian composers, musicians. The general later became a field marshal who defeated the Turks with Lawrence of Arabia in World War I. Edmund Allenby died today. And if you saw the movie Lawrence of Arabia, Allenby was in his British uniform with this swagger stick, and he marched into Jerusalem. And, of course, he had orders from the British Foreign Office not to let Lawrence be able to set up an independent Arab state. That was Lawrence of Arabia's objective when he worked with Faisal, and Faisal worked his deal out with the British. And again, it gets back to oil. And all the oil concessions, British Petroleum, and all of that. And that's what it's all about. One of the great socialists, a lot of people didn't like her. She came to a Russian immigrant, came to the United States. Emma Goldman died today. And, of course, Sidney Bechet died. For those famous jets that are made, I think, in Kansas, William Lear died today. And then Frank Sinatra died at Francis Albert. Served in the U.S. Navy, although mostly entertainment. He died when he was 82 years old. Now, he knew one of the defenders of Stephen Nery, the U.S. Navy sailor. They worked together down in Palm Springs. So I'll get into that another day, although some of the people did not like Frank Sinatra because of his alleged mafia connections in the Rat Pack. Those guys who ran around Hollywood in the 50s and 60s. So, let's see now. The events today, we had the first settlement, English settlement in the New World at Jamestown. Now, interestingly, the British have found, some researchers found a map of the Lost Colony, and maybe they'll find it. There was a Lost Colony set up down there at that time, and it disappeared. And when a ship went to England, by the time it came back, couldn't find the people who were supposed to have settled it. But maybe they seemed to have disappeared or whatever, or went off and tried to find a more hospitable environment. And then in 1767, the British English Parliament removed the import tax on tea, but that didn't stop the revolutionists. And also Edwin Jenner invented the smallpox vaccine on this date. There's a lot of controversy about vaccines such as the anthrax these days, whether or not it's effective or it's more dangerous than the disease. This is one of those medical issues that still is unresolved. But it's very important because of this whole Obamacare as to what vaccinations, what medical care, whether it's necessary or discretionary, our people are going to get. So you better pay attention to this. if you remember Borden's Milk and Borden Cow, Gail Borden in 1853 invented condensed milk, and that made milk last shelf life, so it could be distributed without refrigeration and put in cans, and you use it in your coffee, or if you were in a situation where you had no refrigeration, you use condensed milk, and it was also available to the poor countries of the world. 1942, the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps was set up. And in 1973, here's another first for women, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, declared that women in the military had equal rights. Interestingly, if you are in the, you join the Army, U.S. Army, you do not have the same equal rights where due process is concerned as a Navy sailor, a Marine, or a U.S. Air Force a serviceman or woman, and we'll get into that. It's something that's not well, it's not publicized and it's not well known, and it's an inequality that needs to be exposed and will be. And then 1974, this relates to Patty Hearst and also has a connection to the Juan P. Ferre case. It goes back into the terrorist history of San Francisco, where the the Symbionese Liberation Army was destroyed. Six people were killed in a shootout down in L.A., but Patricia Hearst was captured by the FBI up here in Presidio Park, and we'll put that up on our YouTube site at Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas. We'll show you how that was done. I remember it, and where she hid out, and the connection to the murder of San Francisco police officer Brodnick, and that was in 1969 because the people who killed him, the neighborhood Latino thugs, hung out in that Presidio neighborhood area. They were apprehended in that area. And then in 1974, Patricia Hearst hid out there, and she used to jog around Presidio Park. And Bill and Emily Harris and Wendy Yakamuro, I think was her name, were also apprehended in that area. And then in 1999, an Iranian lesbian who's involved in our nuclear program, a woman named Miriam Motama, lives on Manchester. And the question is, what is a lesbian doing being involved in our nuclear program? And we have these problems, and we're in an unofficial state of war with Iran. And this woman was one of the corrupted jurors in the Stephen Neri case, a case in which San Francisco District Attorney had no jurisdiction to prosecute because the city or state does not have jurisdiction over any federal military person or National Guard when federalized, unless they get the very specific written permission through the governor and from the military service involved, such as in the Steve Neri case. The Secretary of the Navy never granted permission for San Francisco to prosecute, to remove Stephen Neri from the brig on the USS Carl Vinson, nor to prosecute him. And there are several forged documents which were concealed, which were given to me. And then we're going to reveal the FBI's role in this and how they contacted me from Washington to look into the case, as well as some Navy official, Department of Navy officials. So these are the things that are part of the history in which you will not read in the Chronicle or the Old Examiner or the Bay Guardian and even the San Francisco Weekly, but you will read about how they have been, these cases have been altered because of the gay agenda. Now, among the political fictions that Newsweek put out, I haven't read the article, but the cover page of Newsweek, which used to be owned by the Washington Post newspaper, liberal newspaper out of Washington, which also is one of the papers founded by American with Jewish heritage, the Meyer people. Catherine Graham was Jewish, but she became a Lutheran. But the paper was founded by her, was taken over by her father. Anyway, this is going out, and this is Obama's own fault. He's being touted as the first gay president. Well, that's not accurate, even if he is gay. this is going to be resolved. I mean, he threw his bonnet in the ring on this one, or his people did. But anyway, throughout U.S. history, the 15th president of the United States, James Buchanan from Pennsylvania, because he was not married and because he shared a room in Washington with his vice president, Rufus Duvain King, who was a very good-looking young man from the South. Well, he wasn't that young, but he was Buchanan's vice president, and he only lasted about 45 days, I think. He went to Cuba, and he caught a fever and died there. And Buchanan had no vice president, and his Buchanan's social functions in the White House were taken over by his niece. He also had a famous black lab, which he loved. And Queen Victoria, when Buchanan was minister, United States minister to England, they didn't call him ambassadors in those days, Queen Victoria remarked that he was the prettiest man she ever laid eyes on, and she did have an eye for men. Prince Albert was her consort who died, and then there's this movie that just came out about Mr. Brown and the widowed queen. Anyway, Buchanan was, criticize Buchanan, who was a weak president, as the pair, Buchanan and Rufus Duvain King. Nobody knows for sure. Now, but Buchanan and the gay propagandists have touted Buchanan as the first gay president. The second supposed gay president was the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. Because Abraham Lincoln was friendly, very friendly, and had shared a bed many a time with a fellow lawyer who was a good-looking man, Speed was his name, and Lincoln was accused by the gay propagandists of being the second gay president, even though Lincoln was married. His love of his life was Anne Rutledge. In fact, Patrick Butler is an expert on Abraham Lincoln, the Illinois premier a journalist, a political journalist, a real journalist. And also Joshua Speed, very good-looking Southern aristocrat. And Lincoln, when he traveled, shared a bed with him, and a lot of people did in those days. I mean, you know, and even when you were kids and you were staying over at somebody's house, the family, if there wasn't room, you didn't want to sleep on the floor, you shared a bed. These propagandists will do anything to justify their political agenda, and that's part of the political agenda. And so now Newsweek's come out because of what and several things that Mr. O has done. They've been bragging that he's done several executive orders. They want him to do an executive order to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, Bush Administration Act. I don't think he can do it by executive order, but anyway, since that's a congressional, Congress passed that. But, you know, this whole issue, this agenda goes back to Yale University. A guy was a Roman Catholic. He started this gay marriage business, and he died of AIDS. I guess you could say that was his karma. Ernest Röhm, Captain Ernest Röhm, Hitler's World War One buddy. Röhm was a war hero, and he was a rampant homosexual who liked young males and young boys, and he started the SA. I can never pronounce that German name. And he built it up to 300,000 men, man army. And there was nothing said about lesbians per se, unless you look at the movie Cabaret, which was based on Christopher Isherwood's time in Berlin prior to the war, World War II. But the German military caste, the high command, general staff people, aristocrats, old Prussians, and that whole tradition were askance and appalled and revolted by the homosexual excesses of Röhm and his people, the orgies, and Himmler, who hated homosexuals, so he said it was a Catholic, and he was a political opponent for power with Ernest Röhm. And in these situations, you try to eliminate your enemies and your competitors. And Hitler was given an ultimatum. It was Röhm or Hitler had to go. and the Hitler decided that Rome was expendable, and in the middle of the 30s, in June, on the night of the Long Knives, there was an orgy in a Bavarian resort, and Himmler was sent from Munich to destroy the SA and to execute Rome and his followers. Very few of the SA survived, and they were sent to the younger ones were sent to re-education camps, and all the leaders, except for one or two who got married and was away that weekend, were executed by the Himmler's stormtrooper. And that's where the open homosexuality agenda comes from in modern history, modern military history. Now, we've had the Spartans who believed in this type of relationship, and it was said that when they had lovers sharing a tent and side to side in battle, that they fought bravely and better. So that's the argument for that. There is the claim that gay marriage goes back before Christ to the Greek times. This Yale author who died of AIDS, that was one of his theories, and he claimed that some of the Catholic clergy engaged in homosexual marriages. So we'll see where that goes. Now, a case that keeps coming up, and it's not going to go away, the Juan Piferre case is important not only because of what he did to Stephen Neri, but for who he was and where he was from and what his family was involved in. He was a gay who came to this country from Argentina on a student visa and got involved with the Brodnik case and the Los Siete, the murder of Inspector Brodnik, who I knew when I was working as an investigator. And Piferre got involved with their defense committee, even though he was in this country as a student and engaged in illegal political activity. He was going to be deported after he had been arrested for sexually assaulting a young male at the Palladium, which is in North Beach. He concocted this bogus marriage, which a woman who operated out of a storage locker in a warehouse, a real mean lesbian, and this was exposed in Piferre's probate, which was conducted by a judge who had worked in OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, in World War II, which was the predecessor to the Central Intelligence Agency. Judge Isabella Horton Grant was the probate judge, and in that probate was the document filed by Piferre's accountant, where to stay in the United States to avoid deportation back to his native Argentina, Piferre concocted this bogus marriage with this lesbian, and the accountant drew up the papers and then filed them because the lesbian tried to, who was involved in the bogus marriage, tried to claim Piferre's health benefits, his death benefits. Of course, those were all illegal because he was working illegally in San Jose, and also to keep Piferre in the country, even though they never lived together. And, of course, Piferre was a raving homosexual predator who had at least three arrests for sexual assault and sexual proposition in a San Jose public toilet. You go on the YouTube site and you'll find that documented. It was not reported in the San Francisco papers because they had been taken over by the radical gays, according to the former mayor, the late, great George Christopher. So that was one of these gay marriages. Now, also, part of the agenda is, and some of the gay papers, the lesbian papers especially, have come out with this, that they want to be able to, if an American homosexual or lesbian has a foreign lover, they want to be able to bring that lover into the United States and get married, and that will give them landed status. And then that opens it up for subsidized housing and all the benefits that every other American citizen is entitled to and is granted. So that's part of the other. The other agenda is for gay, lesbian, transgender marriages to be performed by military chaplains. The last part of the agenda is that NAMBLA, the National Association of Man, Boy, and Women, Girl, Love, will be allowed to enter U.S. military bases freely and to give classes to the military dependents who are attending school on those bases, whether here or abroad. And Barney Frank was involved in one of those cases with the Marine Corps, and they were appalled and stopped it. So that's the agenda there. Now we have, unfortunately, the tape isn't ready, but I was assaulted in a public hearing by one of these black poverty pimps in the ongoing HUD housing scandal or racketeering that's been going on here in California. And this was a woman who was employed by the San Francisco Public Housing Authority, which was funded by United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, the notorious Mary Rogers. And in a public hearing, she was bullying the chairman of the committee in San Francisco, was caught on TV and on radio. And I came up behind her and exposed her as a poverty pimp getting a dollar a month house when she was making about $42,000 a year, the housing authority, and dining at the finest restaurants. And this information came from the U.S. Attorney's Office, who gave me records on her because I was writing about her and investigating her at the time. And she turned that house at 1866 Turk Street, which we will put up, she turned it into a crack house and a fencing operation. So we're going to end. We'll be back Wednesday. I'm getting back my voice. And we hope to have Patrick Butler. I'm going to call him. And so we'll get an update on Blago and Illinois politics, which I still say are among the most interesting in American history. You don't fool around. These people are for real. So let's end with politics and poker. And, of course, we won't somebody refer to politics and strip poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the
plan? I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what to
do. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Well, that ought to be addressed to the people pushing the sexual preference agenda or crotch politics. We'll be back Wednesday. This is Peter Paul Brazola. And also we'll go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. And we've got about 140 assorted videos up there, a variety of topics and consumer assistance. So this is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.